from the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Today, we're joined by Melody MacArthur, award-winning singer-songwriter from the Big Stone Cree Nation and the powerhouse voice behind Sandy, in Bear Grease, the all-Indigenous musical remix of the classic Grease. Melody's journey from music to musical theater is inspiring audiences across North America. Tune in as we explore her path, her passion, and how this show is reclaiming space through song and story. Indigenous in the News starts now. I'm Larry Kay, and joining us from our Miami studios, Gary Wilcox. How you doing today, Gary?
Doing well, Larry, doing well. Today, we're going full throttle with Melody MacArthur, award-winning singer, songwriter, and star of Bear Grease, Indigenous remix of the classical music Grease. Welcome to the show, Melody.
Thank you. Tawau, welcome to you guys too. Tansan Itzigasin, Melody MacArthur, Miskuchiwa, Sky Gonu Jania. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. Hi, Melody. Very good to see you.
Good.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I've been learning all about your new role. I'm excited to hear about the show, so I'm ready.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Cool, cool.
For those who haven't seen it yet, how would you describe what Bear Grease is all about and what makes it uniquely Indigenous?
Right. I always, and as a team, we often try to say that it's going to be not the Bear Grease you were expecting. It's going to be the Grease that you needed to see, right?
Yeah.
So it is a retelling of the classical musical Grease, and it still has those core concepts of, you know, goofing around, clickiness, your friends, greasers, that kind of culture, but also the Danny-Sandy love story, right? And I play Sandy. And basically what makes it uniquely Indigenous, I would say, from my perspective, is not only our jokes, you know, mm-hmm. and laughter is a universal language. So we do get a wide reception from both non-Indigenous and Indigenous audiences from the jokes that we do tell, because it's a lived experience by our people. But it's also something that a lot of people can be familiar with as well. So there's the jokes, there's the humor, there's also the parody rewriting of the songs to kind of fit our narrative. So there are classical hits in there like Hopelessly Devoted to You. But for an example, Danny, the lead, had actually composed a rewrite in a round dance kind of powwow style, as you might understand it, song rendition of Hopelessly Devoted to You that is also in the play. You know, and then Crystal and Cloud, a.k.a. Lightning Cloud, who have created the show, they were also a musical group. So some of their rap hits are in there as well. And I do rapping and I do the... There's Motown hits. There's a whole mixture of things, and it's very eclectic.
Wow.
And what makes it also uniquely Indigenous is our costumes, right? Because we try to put it in there as much as we can. So I have a ribbon skirt, you know, and the way that our hair is done, we're embracing our long brown hair and
right.
our brown eyes, and we're just showing the beauty of Indigenous people as we are, and presenting it as it would have been in the 1950s if colonization maybe did not happen to our people,
mm-hmm.
but it still looks like what people are familiar with in terms of iconic pop duo culture and what the style would have been back then as well, right? Putting
yeah.
a play on it from our own way.
Yeah. Tell us about Sandy.
Sandy's been a force for me. People always ask me about the characters I play and are they close to who I am? And I do kind of think that personally for me as an actor, that every character you play has a little part of you inside.
Mm-hmm.
For Sandy, I have to channel a lot of that because Melody, Mel knows the world, you know? Mel's been some places and
right?
Mel's been through some stuff. But Sandy's innocent and sweet and demure, and she knows what things are, right? But she also is very new to this whole world that she's coming into with the greasers and the resies and the pink aunties, you know,
yeah.
and the tugboat. Like, they're from this whole other place, but she can obviously get in there because she does end up fitting in. But so that's that has been a challenge for me, kind of come to this
sure.
like vulnerable place on the stage,
mm-hmm.
and also having to trust your co-star, because of course I'm playing the love interest of Danny, right? So there has to be a lot of trust between me and the co-star in terms of reacting off of each other. So
sure.
that's been a challenge for me. And Sandy is just, she's beautiful. She's a beautiful person to play, and I love her very much. And She has given me the opportunity to bring out a part of myself that I've been hiding away for multiple reasons, including a lot of trauma, right? She's healed me, is what I can say about Sandy. And we're on this journey together, me and her.
All right. Can you tell us about the rest of the cast and crew? Who else is bringing Bear Grease to life with you on the stage?
So Bryce Morin is from the Enoch Cree Nation here in Alberta. He plays Danny. Originally, he was Roger. Prior to me and Bryce taking over as the lead star in roles, it was Crystal and Cloud. So Crystal was Sandy when it initially started. And now she stepped back to do more of a very full-time directorial role, which has really helped elevate the show because she can see everything real time and be able to make changes at that moment, right? So we stepped in. Before that, I was Frenchie. Before that, Danny was Roger. So we also have Raven Bright, and I believe he is from Arizona, New Mexico area. He's Dene. And we have Justin Guillaume, who also plays Sunny. He is also Dene. And then we have Haley Robinson. She's an influencer, you know, a very well-known influencer. She is playing Marty right now. We have Tammy Ray from My Neck of the Woods, Treaty 8, who plays Rizzo, a.k.a. Rezzo. And Nippy Esquew, she plays Jan. And Rodney McLeod. Rodney McLeod is just a dream. He's from Frog Lake, Alberta. He's just—he's the heart and soul of Bear Grease, we say. He's such a wonderful character. He plays Canucky, a.k.a. Canicky. And we call him Canucky. Maybe that's obvious to you, but I will put it out there that because we're Canadians, right? So, well, okay. Most of us are. So we call him Canucky instead. It's like a play on words.
What was it like performing in a show that's both nostalgic and revolutionary at the same time?
It's been a real dream fulfilled, you know, to be part of something that I always say is just much bigger than us as the people that are help bringing it to life. You know, it's much bigger than us. It's been so, I can see how it's done a couple things for the community. It's been healing for the community, but it's also brought in Native people to the theaters. You know, it's bringing them into that space where we do very much belong, but we've never really had the chance to feel like we should go there. That's somewhere that we can practice our expression, that we can be ourselves, that we can be authentic, you know, and we can challenge ideals and stereotypes about who we are as Indigenous people. That's what I've loved most.
Of all the different plays out there, why pick Grease?
There's a few reasons. I think number one, if you talk to almost every cast member, almost all of us, if not all of us, all have some kind of specific special tie to that movie, or that musical. For Crystal and Cloud, they have their own story. I know that Cloud had actually played one of the characters when he was in high school. So that might be something that really resonates with him. I think that Crystal's parents had their very first date at a drive-in theater to watch Grease. Special things like that, like that, that make it just synchronicity for us. Yeah, but also because Grease is so iconic for non-Indigenous audiences, right? It's like trying to speak the language to people about us that they could understand, trying to reach them in a way that they could get, you know, that they could get while they're watching it.
She mentioned you've been on tour for 4 years. How's the audience been responding, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous?
We've gone to theaters and we've also performed at like art centers, but we have also gone to community, you know, that's what's a little bit different than us is when we were first starting and we still do because we just recently did a community show in Fond du Lac. It's a remote fly-in community in Saskatchewan. Okay. Like we still do those. But it's so rewarding and beautiful to bring the show to community because we are a group of, we're not just a couple, we're an ensemble of Native people, Native artists, dancers, singers, actors, so sometimes all trained in both, sometimes just one thing, but we're all coming together and we're telling this story that's not just about love and it's not just about love that works out, it's about humor and fun and joy. And it's like telling, it's retelling a time that was so awful for our people historically, both in all over Turtle Island, you know, with boarding schools, as you would call them, residential schools, as we called them, that historic time, the legislation that has affected us with colonization, with the Indian Act, like how all those things were really, really hurting our people, especially in that era, not exclusively, but especially in that era. To retell it as if that didn't happen to us, would we be dancing in the streets like John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John? You know, how would that look? And what would that be like? And it's been beautiful because we've had elders at our show who have cried. And we've had children at the show who when you're playing the performance, because it's live, they're engaging, you know, they're like talking to our characters. Like, they get really passionate when the little ones come and watch. They're like, you know, they get upset about the way people are treating Sandy. it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. It's been a great reception, including non-Indigenous people as well. We get great reception. They laugh hard and they give us such good feedback. And they, if I kind of feel like it's like breaking down a wall between us and them too.
Yeah. I got a chance to see the show on YouTube, some clips, and I was really, really, really moved. It was an excellent performance. My hat goes off to you all. You have put on a really great show. Yeah, I really thought it was amazing. I can't wait to catch it, you know, personally.
Yes, it'll be such a whole different experience.
Yes,
and we're adding a new segment too, that we're really excited about as well. That's coming. It's going to start here in New York.
All right.
Can you share a moment with us about the show or the tour that's really stuck with you both emotionally and spiritually?
There's been quite a few key moments. The ones that stick out in my mind are ones where we've got to engage with elders and hear their feedback about how beautiful it was to see someone who looked like them, you know, and take them back to a time when they might not have had that kind of experience, but they saw it on TV and now they see it. They see us in themselves or themselves in us. And so those have been beautiful moments. Performing on stages that I knew I'd get to one day. I just didn't know how. And it's beautiful that it's been with Bear Grease. So like the National Arts Center in Ottawa, Canada. I mean, that's where Parliament is, you know, that's where our Prime Minister, which would be the equivalent of your president. That's where he works. And that's where all the legislation that goes that is either against our people or makes creative and wonderful changes for our people. Like that's where that all happens. So that was a powerful moment as well, to be able to bring that Indigenous story to that national center and have that kind of platform at that time was really, really beautiful. And being able to lately, there's so many memories, but recently it's been able to, at the end of every show, announce, really tell the audience a dream came true. We made it happen. We did it, going off Broadway, New York, and telling every audience at the end of the show that before we announced it publicly, we were doing it kind of a little bit, little key mooch, which is like, you know, on the down low. with audience members who came to shows. And that was so precious because it was just like, wow, and the energy, and like I get goosebumps just thinking about it, how beautiful it's been to be able to share it's right. Come true, nice, with Native people and non-Native people.
Some of our listeners don't know it, but I've been playing your music for a long time on my music show, and I've been jamming to a lot of pop music, and you're also an award-winning R&B artist. How does your music background shape your approach to musical theater?
It really helps for a number of different reasons, but I have learned a lot as I've gone along because I'm not used to dancing. I'm not used to dancing and singing. So it's really helped kind of develop me as a performer and singer in that way, because you got to get your endurance, right?
Right.
But also learning how to breathe and just work with it. So that's been great. But prior to joining, I had a lot of advantages in terms of being able to know how to take care of my voice, how to rehab my vocals, how to use my breath work, and how to develop different sounds and how to do different styles, because in the show, like I said, I'm doing about 3 to 4 different genres. So doing Motown at one point, I'm doing some of the Grease songs, so like musical theater, and then some of them are rap songs and some of them are like hip-hoppy R&B stuff. So being able to have been that artist who already was experimenting in that way is what I'm getting at, is that because I've got 6 albums, some of them have hip hop influences, some R&B, some pop, some country. So that being said, really helped give me an advantage in working with the character and doing what I needed to do to play them.
Nice.
I'm glad you said that. Do you bring any of your own musical style into your performances as Sandy?
I think maybe when I'm actually singing. So when I'm doing the skit parts, I'm playing the character. And I actually don't speak. I speak in a different tone and a different voice that she. This is my speaking voice. But Sandy's more like, you know, like, yeah, guys, for real. You know, she's just really preppy and just sweet and sweet and sweet. Right. All the time. Layering on all that sweetness. But for terms of performance vocally, yeah, for most songs, unless it's particularly me being the sweet Sandy. So like if I did Summer Lovin', which we call Summer Snaggin', I'll sing in a different tone than my usual self. I'll sing in a different tone than my usual self. But when I'm doing Motown, because it's kind of before I become my character, I'll sing as myself because I'm also trying to showcase me, Melody, the singer as well, because that's one of my main talents.
Yeah, yeah. What role has music played in your personal healing or cultural journey?
Majorly, you know, I've had a lot of trauma as many of the people in the cast have and many of our audience members that come in. And music has been very healing and also therapeutic, cathartic. Right. It's helped me to bounce back ideas off myself. Cause you know, when you're an artist, you tend to internalize everything. You don't really, unless you're expressing yourself through the art, you're not really sharing a lot. I don't know why we're just made that way, but it helps me to have ways of putting these ideas outside of my brain and really reflecting on them, which has enabled me to process feelings a lot better. You know, so music has been a staple in my life of healing always, and I'm so grateful for it. And I know that it doesn't belong to me. It's a gift, and I try to use it because I know it's a gift. I try to use it for good as much as I possibly can and share it as much as I possibly can.
How long does a tour last? These productions when you're performing?
With Bear Grease, it's usually 1 to 2 months at a time. Okay. Sometimes there'll be little tiny breaks in between here and there maybe. But usually it's a commitment of up to 3 months, little break, again, 3 months, little break. It's been kind of like that. It's a little, you know, it's showbiz, so it's not always that consistent, but it's pretty much, that's the nutshell of it.
5 days a week, 6 days? A lot.
24/7, man.
Bump it up.
Bear Grease.
Bump it up. Right, right.
What does it mean to you personally to represent the Big Stone Cree Nation on a national stage like this? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to do that?
Well, it's becoming more of an international stage now.
Yeah, right on.
I'm really proud to do that because. You know, because of the interworkings of the Indian Act, and I know you guys don't have that in America, but here, you know, there could be so many reasons why I wouldn't have membership with my band for just mostly patriarchal reasons. So my mother was actually had to fight for her right to be a status band member through her father. And then I had a kind of what we call affiliation membership, so not full. And then I had to go gather around my signatures to go get that done. Wow. So the fact that I can still represent the community in this way is very special because I know for any little reason, at least in the time that I was born in the early 90s, it's a lot harder for them to do these things now. But and prior to that, it was very, very easy for a woman to lose her status and have no sense of community, have lost her sense of belonging, you know, and then not be able to pass it on to her children. So it's in that way, it's been very, very special, and I'm very, very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Today, our guest is Melody MacArthur from the Big Stone Cree Nation and the powerhouse voice behind Sandy in Bear Grease. They're coming to New York June 10th. Find out how you can attend at BearGreaseLive.com. Here's a taste of the fun and energy they bring to the stage. This is Summer Snaggin' from Bear Grease.
Yeah.
How do you stay grounded and connected to your community while traveling? I know you stay busy, as you mentioned, and while you're performing so much.
I would say it's through my engagement with the fans.
Okay.
And so when I say my community in that sense, it's all Native people. Right. So I engage with my fans a lot online. Like I do really take the, it's like a full-time job though, but I do really take the time to comment back and really engage with them as much as I can, because we're just, you know, I'm just being myself. I'm just a res kid, you know, we're just making jokes. We're laughing. Yeah, it's a good time. And that's how I kind of stay grounded and connected with my people.
Right on.
What's the creative energy like backstage with the rest of all the Indigenous cast?
Well, when we're doing a show, it's very... It's very adrenaline. It's very chaotic, but it's also, I mean, we know the show backward and forward, right? But like little things can happen. I've had wardrobe malfunctions. And you have to adapt to the situation. So there's not a lot of downtime when you're backstage until we introduce that intermission that we now have. There's like 20 minutes of just, okay, let's decompress
Take a
for
break.
A second and gather ourselves. Otherwise the energy is very high and good. And, for the most part, we're just like, you know, we're very helpful to each other. If someone's missing something, it's like, oh, here you go. Or can I help you? Or can't find something and there's panic. You know, we figure out how to make it work in the moment because you got very little time to react and adapt. But we've really learned a great deal of that just working with each other. And you got to be a good teammate and the ego has to go for it to all kind of work out and flow as good as it does for us.
Yes, yes. Can you tell us a little bit about the creators of Bear Grease? Crystal Lightning
Crystal
and
Cloud.
Henry.
Yeah, that's Crystal Lightning and Henry Andrade, aka Cloud, which make Lightning Cloud together. They are they have their production company. They started out as a rap hip hop duo. They're husband and wife, and they live here in Edmonton. That's where our main headquarters are. But they both are originally from Los Angeles. Crystal is an Enoch Cree Nation member here. Henry is of Mexican ancestry. And, you know, they're just a beautiful, beautiful couple. And Henry does the production. Henry, before we hired a team, Henry and Crystal were just doing everything, you know, the booking and all the emails and the negotiations, the back and forth, the working with 10 people's different schedules to make rehearsals happen and shows happen and tours happen. Like, they're just so go-getting and so entrepreneurial and very inspirational. And I can't say enough good things about them. I love them so much. They're wonderful to work for. They're amazing. They're a great team. And a testament to that is that we did make it all together to New York.
All together, right?
I was impressed with hearing how they came up with the idea. Sitting on the couch as they were watching the show, they were singing the song, and that's how they came up with this whole production. I thought it was just amazing how they did that.
If you think of like Natives be doing that all the time, right? Like
you're
watching something, usually something really, really, I'll just say non-Native, and we're like, how could we make this something for us? And we're like doing that, you know, that little bitter rant back and forth and like witty stuff and parody. And, you know, we do that a lot just like in everyday life. And I think that's not surprising that they came up with something that was just so funny. And they thought to themselves, they took it a step further though and said, that could be something. And then they went and made it something.
That's amazing.
Yes.
What advice would you give to our young Indigenous performers dreaming of hitting the stage like you? What advice would you have for them?
There's a lot of things that I could say, but what sticks out in my mind right now is that number one, you got to be Like, if you're going to commit to something, you commit to something, you know? You be willing to do the hard work. You be willing to show up on time. And if you can't be on time, be early, you know? Mm-hmm. You really show people that you can run with the best of them. You could be so talented, but you know, it's not helpful to you if you can't be that person that's willing to go above and beyond. And I know that as an Indigenous person or a person of color, it feels like we're always doing that, but that's just the way that it is until it's not like that for us no more. And it will get there one day, as long as we're willing to put in that work and that time and that effort that we may not think we should have to, but we just do, and we will do it because we want to rise to that occasion, you know? The mm-hmm. other thing is being willing to learn. If you don't know something, go learn it. Willing to educate yourself, you know, and often you're going to be the only Native person in the room, because I have been many, many, many times. And the magic happens outside of this. And this is what I call the comfort zone. Magic's mm-hmm. out here. You know, this is where the growth is. This is where the confidence is built. This is where the good things happen to you. You know, taking risks. And my main thing, and I say it online, and it's my main mantra, is to just do it afraid until you're not anymore.
Yeah, I love mm-hmm. it. Salute. What's next for you in after Bear Grease? More music, more theater, something new?
I've actually got a few things on the go here, but I am actually taking to theater quite a bit, and I've yes. auditioned for some roles, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm really taking to theater. Something maybe possibly non-musical, so that I could just focus on the acting portion of it. Maybe something more dramatic. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm really open right now. My, you know, the world is the oyster, as they say.
Yeah,
I won't say it's mine. I'm just going to say it's the oyster at yeah. this time. I'm here for the ride, and I'm willing to do the work is what I know.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to turn on the TV and see you.
yeah, but keep going.
yeah, keep it going.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yes, Melody, where can we go to find out about the show, and how do we get a hold of you?
For Bear Grease stuff, yes. you can go to BearGreaseLive.com. Mm-hmm. That is our main official website. But Bear Grease is also on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And their handle is at Bear Grease Live. BearGreaseLive.
And,
Bear Grease Live.
And
you can find me online too on all those things. And my handle is at Melody MacArthur Music. Melody is in the song.
Sure, right on. And you're coming to the U.S. too, right?
Yes.
Tell us.
Our opening night in New York is June 10th, and tickets are already online. And you can get those ticket links from BearGreaseLive.com.
Right on. Melody, it's been a great time having you on today and learning all about Bear Grease. Stay in touch with us and have yourself a great week.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Melody.
Iksamaga. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Stay well. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Come visit us at indigenousinthenews.org to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Music today was Summer Snaggin' from Bear Grease. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.